Dear Cheap Astronomy, is there a Goldilocks level of radioactive elements in planets? There are a number of angles to consider in what matters for a planet to bear life. So, starting with the assumption that liquid water is essential, you need the right temperature zone. However, the star that creates that temperature zone will also be pumping out stellar wind. That is, lots of charged particles, which we know, in Venus and Mars's case, can blow away any atmospheric gases lighter than CO2. Such atmospheric gases include both nitrogen and oxygen, and also water vapor. Earth's great trick in avoiding that outcome is a magnetosphere that diverts the solar wind away, leaving a vaporous mix of nitrogen, water vapor, and CO2 floating above its surface, thereby creating the possibility of biochemistry, which will then also add oxygen to the mix. And how do you get a magnetosphere? In Earth's case, it's a product of having a liquid metallic outer core and a rapid planetary spin, remembering that Venus has the former, but not the latter, while Mars has the latter, but not the former, and hence neither have robust magnetic fields. And how do you get a liquid outer core? Firstly, you have to have a biggish planet whose center was heated during its formation by the inward crush of its mass under gravity, but, as Lord Kelvin indirectly figured out, if that was all there was to it, Earth's core would have cooled long ago. What sustains Earth's core heat are very slowly decaying radioactive elements, mostly in the mantle, and probably in higher concentrations than we find in Earth's crust. That continuing source of heat, sitting above the core, minimizes heat loss from the core out to the surface. Consequently, Earth has an atmosphere-sustaining magnetic shield that's been in place for billions of years now, long enough for life and eventually digital watch-wearing life to emerge. But too much radioactive heating might have meant too much mixing for the metallic core and the rocky mantle to differentiate, while too little radioactive heating might have seen the liquid outer core solidify long ago. So it seems there is a Goldilocks proportion of radioactive isotopes that's just right for a magnetosphere, and hence for an atmosphere, and hence for liquid water and digital watches. The radioactive isotopes that matter to Earth are uranium-238 and 235, thorium-232, and potassium-40, all of which have half-lives measured in billions of years, and so are still down there pumping out heat after being caught up in Earth's formation billions of years ago. To be strictly accurate, uranium-235's half-life is only 0.7 billion years, and potassium-40's is just 1.25 billion, so they made most of their contribution to the hotter early Earth, while uranium-238 at 4 billion and thorium-232 at 14 billion dominate Earth's internal heating today. The prevalence of exoplanets with magnetic fields is unclear, but there are definitely some. For example, XY Ceti b, an almost Earth-sized planet orbiting a red dwarf star, which is only 12 light-years away, making it possible to detect fluctuations in the star's radio emissions that are consistent with the orbiting planet deflecting its star's stellar wind. All that said, though, it's an unusual situation insofar as XY Ceti b orbits its star once every 2 days, meaning it's very close in and hence should be tidally locked, but at the same time it must be spinning to have a magnetic field, so maybe what we're observing there is just a temporary situation. As to the prevalence of exoplanets with Goldilocks concentrations of radioactive elements, no one really has any idea. to have significant amounts of uranium and thorium in a dust cloud that subsequently collapses down into a new stellar system requires that the universe be of a reasonably advanced age, since current thinking is that uranium and thorium mostly arise from the collision of neutron stars, which is not that common an event. We do know that one such cloud collapsed down about 5 billion years ago, producing a rocky planet with a strong magnetic field that we all live on. Any other clouds collapsing around the same time may have done the same thing, and maybe other clouds a few billion years each side of that could have done it too. So there is plenty of scope for more Earth-like planets out there, and it looks like we need yet another footnote to the Drake equation.